Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new season of Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Sarah's here.
No, I'm here.
And Chris is here as well.
It's very nice to be back.
It is indeed. Now, whether you've had a particular experience several times over, a handful of times, or just the once, each of our individual experiences happened for the first time once upon a time. Sometimes the first time is the best time, and sometimes it's the scariest time. This week we're asking this question: what are the most memorable firsts you've ever had? And I'm hoping we're not going to be talking about shagging today.
Glad we just cleared that up first thing.
Let's be honest, it's never that great.
Set the stall out here.
Chris, why don't you get us off to a good start here?
So, as the song goes, the first cut is the deepest. I'm going to talk about my first fight.
Here we go.
Straight in there. The first fight I ever had was on my very first day of school.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, what?
I was 4 and a half. And
Chris!
I must have been like a caged, cornered animal. Mm. I can't really remember much. I do remember that I bit him on the eyebrow. And I mean, I went for it. It was like Krav Maga for babies. You just got to like get in there, act like an insane person, and then they back off. Yeah. And I got massively told off on my very first day with my parents called in at my primary school.
What a psycho. Like, imagine the rest of the class. It's like quite intimidating first day
Who's
of school.
Who's this lad?
Who's this guy? He's biting people's faces off.
Yeah, well, you know. Did
this kid like slight you?
He said it was a kid. Could have been anyone, Sarah. You're judging me early. I really don't remember.
Straight to the teacher.
He actually attacked the teacher.
He's a master. What a knob.
Yeah. The janitor had a go at you for not throwing your crisp packet in the bin. Oh, I have some of this.
I mean, it's a long time ago. I don't have any recollection of him being like nasty to me. I assume he was. Yeah. Or maybe I just got overexcited because it's, you know, first day at school and I was running around going, and as I did that, I accidentally landed on his eyebrow.
Quite possibly. So. My father, once upon a time, when he was a very, very young lad, he tells a story that apparently he hit this he would have probably been 4 or 5. He hit this lad at school because he was, in my father's words, ugly and had bad breath. And he actually crossed the road to do this. I think that's been...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Get stuck
that's
in.
That's mad.
Sarah, I'm looking to you now for perhaps a non-violent first.
I still, to this day, tearing up just thinking about it, remember my first heartbreak.
Oh.
This was also in school. I was a similar age to Chris. I think I was about 5 or 6.
Some nutter bit you on the eye.
Yeah. What a way to dump someone. Yeah. I don't like you anymore.
I had
a love bike note.
Although actually you say that, once when I was this isn't my first, I did once accidentally hit a friend in the face with my braces and she got a very deep cut in her face.
Oh my goodness.
That wasn't my finest moment.
Your
braces, not the ones on your teeth.
Yeah, with the ones on my teeth. We were like messing around and somehow I like hit her in the face with my face. Yeah.
You thought Sarah was
wearing... I think she still probably has a scar.
Did you think Sarah was wearing braces like a 1920s banker or something?
Well, I didn't know she was pinging
my suspenders.
Flicking them in someone's eye.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, sorry, Sarah. You were talking about having your heart broken.
Yeah, so I was sharing a really painful memory with you guys, actually.
Yeah.
Sorry. I invited this boy in the year above to my birthday party. And he didn't show up. He didn't come.
Oh,
and that was when I knew the searing pain of heartbreak.
Do you know what, though? Yeah. When you say that, if you were about 18 and he didn't turn up, then you think, oh, yeah, he might have said, I fancy going to the party. And his mum said, sorry, you're not going anywhere. You're grounded. Or he might have just forgotten.
But when you're 6.
Yeah.
I'm still not over it.
He could have apologised the next day at school, something like that. There was... When I was doing a bit of research for this, looking at various sort of lists and so on, Huffington posted an article a couple of years ago listing the best first-time experiences. and they, literally in the title it was beside sex, that you'll never forget. And there was a lot of it was people giving birth, or you know, seeing their baby for the first time. It was classic ones getting married, although that does suggest that it's happened a number of times to those people. Yeah. You know, falling in love, first kiss, blah blah blah. One of them was getting on a plane, flying for the first time. And that's an interesting one. I suppose a few years ago, maybe people flew for the first time when they were a bit older, maybe. I don't know, when plane travel was not so extended to the masses, although I appreciate that it has been for a number of years now. But I can remember the first time I went on a plane because you're on a plane, you know, big cheapies. It was, and this ages it. This shows you a sign of the times. I was invited into the cockpit where the pilots are. Obviously, if people are familiar with the concept of a cockpit, it was my dad and my brother. We flew. We were living in Edinburgh at the time. We flew to Gatwick or Heathrow, one of the London airports. And on the way down and the way back up, both times. That my dad was like, oh, my sons are, you know, whatever we were, you know, 10 and 8 or 9 and 7, whatever our age is. You don't suppose you could go in the cockpit? And they're like, yeah, of course, yeah, come on up. Open the door, we walk in. We're just there and the pilots are going, gosh, how are you doing, lads? Isn't that amazing?
You never see it anymore. Do you think that's because of the whole, you know, absolutely, taking over planes and security?
Yes,
and
stuff. I think that's exactly it.
Right. But Marcus looks dodgy now.
Did you sit in the pilot seat?
No, I wasn't quite like, give us a go for a minute. Oh.
Yeah, I'm just going to play with these knobs.
I can vividly remember looking at the kind of, what would you, not the steering wheel, you know, the joystick thing, you know, the controls of this aircraft. And I actually said, I was like, maybe you should have your hands on that sort of thing. And they were like, no, don't worry, it's autopilot. And the concept of autopilot, you know, it was quite hard to... Oh yeah, no. This wasn't
before takeoff.
No. This is, we're in the air.
Oh wow,
that's what I mean. Yeah,
I get why you were worried.
Yeah,
lads, there's no one actually flying this plane.
Don't worry, son. We haven't moved. But yeah, so you I could go in the cockpit. That was the first time. You can imagine my disappointment every other time after that flying. Yeah. It's kind of like, can I go and see the pilot?
Yeah, I used to be allowed.
Yeah, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I was thinking about do you remember the first time you went on holiday without your parents?
Oh, that's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's that like, is... all of a sudden you're like, I don't know, you're let off the leash, aren't you?
Yeah. Where did you go? What was the scene, Chris?
I was 14 years old.
That's young. That's quite young.
Wow.
School trip.
Oh, okay. So,
okay.
It was a ski trip to France. And I think the bus journey was like 29 hours.
Oh, yeah,
and there was
poor.
Probably one or two toilets on there. But it was just like, if, I think I felt, because when you're a teenager, everything's, the life is an adventure before you, isn't it? You've got so many firsts, so many sort of things to taste. And I felt like Pinocchio, you know, when he's in the house where they trash it at the end, like everyone's just going crazy without their parents. And it was brilliant. But I do remember we got there and there was a rumor that you could buy alcohol at 14 in France. And you could. And my room was brilliantly, it was on the basement. So at first we were like, oh, we're on the basement, everyone's above that. But the teachers would hang out in the lobby to stop people going out to get alcohol. But because we were below them, we could sneak out. I still remember it, like running through the snow, through the bushes, get into the, you didn't know what to buy either because you were 14. So you just bought whatever looked like alcohol.
Hoot.
And then, and a bit too scared to drink it. I think we shared it with everybody. So
But that's interesting, because actually my first school trip, I think I was about like 8 or 9 years old. But do you not think it's a bigger moment when you go on holiday without your parents for the first time? You don't have any school teachers. You're just, I don't know, however old you are.
What? So you're navigating the airport. You're like, I need to check in. Mm-hmm. I need to like...
You're carrying your own passport.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's
always
a worry. I still now, I check it every 20 seconds in case I've dropped it somewhere in the airport.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I went on holiday to Dublin when I finished my finals, and I was convinced I'd thrown the passport in the bin by accident.
Yeah.
And so I'm like going through the bin in Dublin Airport trying to find my passport. Obviously it was in my bag all along.
But I just
shouldn't be allowed to look after my passport.
Yeah, I mean, a friend of mine once, a couple of my mates from Edinburgh, they went to California on holiday, and one of them, he was well pissed one evening. He'd been on the source and he was going on, but they were walking along the coast and he was like, "I bloody love this place, California, it's beautiful, I'm staying." And he took out his passport and just went, "Rah!" and chucked it down into the sea.
What?
What an idiot.
And then he didn't realise. The next day he kind of woke up and he's like, "Where's my passport?" And he had to go to the embassy or wherever.
Wow.
And they got him like a temporary one. And then he explained the situation. So when he got home to Scotland to be issued another one, the note for the person who was doing it was looking at it going, "Needs a new passport. Reason, he's an idiot." That was all it was. So like, what the hell did you do?
I've actually got a holiday related one that I thought of when we were thinking about this.
This is a first.
My first holiday by myself, just myself.
Okay.
Yeah. A few years ago.
The pity in our faces when we hear this.
Well, this wasn't off. This wasn't when you were six when the lad dumped you and you thought, "I need to go."
They were like, "She's going on holiday. Bye, Sarah. Bye.
I need to get over this. I need to be by myself."
Yeah. So where did you go?
Hedonism
3.
Now, I went to where?
I believe it's a package holiday. Carry on, though. Wait, were you off?
I took myself to Berlin.
Okay.
Took myself to Berlin. In retrospect, it was 4 nights, which is actually too long to spend on your own.
Right.
I think. Yeah. If anyone's thinking of taking themselves on holiday. But it actually turned out that a good friend of mine who we've had on the show, Sophie Gallagher,
oh, yeah,
she also was going out by herself at the same time.
Would you, this Adam point, and Eve?
We used to work together. She ended up coincidentally there at the same time, so we spent the middle 2 nights hanging out together.
That's
so that
nice.
Was nice, because actually in retrospect 4 nights would have been too much. But those 2 nights I did have by myself, honestly, it was like, it wasn't that easy, you know, when you're used to like
yeah
doing everything with other people, and going taking myself a dinner by myself.
You only have it in 20 minutes, right? It's how quick you have dinner on your own. You're like, "Oh
yeah,
I've still got a whole evening now."
That was what I found the first time. So on the last night, I was like, right, okay. I took a book with me and I was like, I'm going to just read my book. I'm not going to feel rushed. I sat up sort of at the bar in this restaurant and there was like someone like playing music in the corner of the restaurant. And it was really nice. And I really did feel like I got past that thing of like, oh, is it a bit sad to go for dinner by yourself or whatever. It was amazing. And I would really recommend... do it, but don't go for 4 nights. I'd say go for 2 or 3.
Going to dinner by yourself is amazing, according to Sarah.
Maybe
it
talk
is.
To your friends and see
it
if they're
is.
Going.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it might turn out. Yeah. But yeah.
That's very true. Yes, I'll never forget. Memorable. A memorable first for me was when I had a wisdom tooth removed. I will never ever forget that cracking sound.
Yeah, I had some adult teeth out. So...
It was unbelievable.
I misunderstood how they remove teeth. This sounds really dumb. But I thought that they in some way like surgically removed it. Like,
I mean,
they
in
cut
a, in
some
a
gum
way.
They just get the pliers out and twist.
Absolutely.
Do you think that's just a movie thing, don't you? Like, oh, it's just a joke. It can't be real.
No.
It's the same as those torture scenes. They just give you a couple of anaesthetic injections beforehand.
Yeah, I couldn't... Honestly, that sound, the crack it made...
Well,
I mean, it was just as... well. I mean, they say that anaesthetic is one of the best things that's ever been invented, and my giddy aunt, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you're right. I mean, and it was funny, because she was... the person who was doing it, she was quite a small woman. And, you know, you think of
angry,
some sort
though.
Of...
oh,
yeah, I had to. They gave me a card and said, "Read these lines; it will really get her up for it." So I was a bit like, "Okay, I've heard." No, you think like, you know, some sort of Polish shot putter or something. But anyway, I got numbed up, and then it was a case of she was like, "All right, just sort of lie back, open your gob. There we go, going in," and bang, and it was like there was this crack, and I was like,
oh.
"Gordon bloody Bennett," but then I thought. I didn't feel much, but I know that's bad. I know something quite seismic has just happened in my mouth. Anyway, so she did all that, and it was like, okay, fine. And I just... I was genuinely quite in awe of how effective and quickly she did it. She was like, get the pliers, you know, there they are. Jump, there, that's done. I actually said, yeah, you're really good at what you do, or something like that, as I walked out. I was just like, that's a big fan of your work. You know, like,
I'm just a fan of your work. Yeah, and your desk is not worn off.
Oh, man. That was incredible.
I remember my first time.
All I can think about is that sound.
I remember my first time having one taken out. I got a black eye. Well, I think they slipped when they were doing it and punched me in the eye.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're all anaesthetic'd up. You look like you've been in a fight because you're a bit swollen. You can't speak. You got a black eye.
Maybe it was the kid who you bit at school.
Yeah,
it was. I remember you. Have waited. Some of these.
Yeah, you mug.
I tell you what. This has only happened twice with me. First time I gave a statement to the police.
Oh, go on.
Yeah, it's not a particularly spectacular story. I'll be honest with you. I was working.
Don't bring
it up,
then.
Yeah, it was. I was holding a gun. No, I was working security at the student union bar, and it was the only night I ever did it. Because let's be honest, I'm more of a barman than a security guard in that kind of thing. Even though
you'd
don't drink.
You'd be a great barman.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm not a drinker, so perfect, yeah. Really. I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
You know, once you've told me, oh, that's the rum and that's the whiskey. Okay, fine. You know, no, not a pint of whiskey.
Go to him. It gives you doubles. He doesn't know.
So, these two people came in and had a bit of a ruckus, but apparently there was a bit of history there. Anyway, I was required to go down to the police station and give a statement. And it's so funny because all I was a witness, and I didn't really witness very much. And you realise that, bloody, I've never done this before. And you're quite nervous.
Yeah.
And you think, oh my God, this whole sort of different world of never been in a police station before. Like, why would I? But, you know, it is quite fascinating to see how all that kind of happens and whatnot. In fact, the only other time I've given a statement to the police was when I saw a car crash recently. It was fine. It was not a particularly nasty one. But I just waited around and made sure, because I was the only eyewitness. And gave a, but yeah, that was quite a moment, going into the police station and giving a statement to the copper.
The first time I was a victim of crime was quite memorable. I got all my money stolen in South Africa.
Blimey.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, violent or anything, which
could be in
worse,
South Africa, yeah.
Exactly. Well, we went out there, it was with my school, and we were told specifically that another school had been out there a few weeks before, and the boys from this school had been held up at knife point in the marketplace for all their money. So do not take your money with you to the marketplace. Only take a little bit, what you think you might need. Fine. I had all my cash, so I hid it in the hotel room. I put it in my my glasses case, in my suitcase, and I was like, that's safe, it's not on show, no problems. Came back from the marketplace, was not held up at knife point. All my money was gone.
Gutted.
All of it. Yeah. It turned out the cleaner had actually taken it.
Yeah. She'd taken you to the cleaners.
She did.
So they found out who'd taken it, but did you get it back?
No. I think I might have got some of it through insurance, but yeah. No. Like, she was like, I assume she was like arrested or something. Like, I was a teenager at this point. I can't really remember what happened afterwards, but I just remember being like, oh, this is the first time someone has kind of like gone through all my possessions and they've taken something that belongs to me, and it felt quite like, yeah, it did not feel good. It did feel like they'd gone through like you know, your bag with all your, you know, toothbrush and stuff in it, and it just felt like, you've been through
always
all my things.
Always put it in the dirtiest pair of pants you've put in your thing.
Yeah, but they'll know that.
Yeah, dirty, skeggy pants.
I reckon they'll know. Speaking of people violating people, Chris, another first from you?
First hospital visit.
There you go.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was playing football. I must have been about 13. And it was very wet. And so I did a slide tackle. I was a defender. Slid through one player and then a second player. And they both fell on me, and I was sideways, and it crushed me to the ground and popped out my collarbone and snapped it. And my dad, bless him, said, the ball's still in play, get up. So I'm like, okay, dad, I'll get up, I get the ball. So I'm like, still doing my best. holding my like arm across my chest, like, oh, this is a bit wrong. And then I come off at half time and there's like a big lump on my chest. My mum and dad were like, are you all right? And I was like, I'll be fine. So I stayed to watch the rest of the game. I didn't play on, but I had a party I wanted to go to that night. So I decided, I'm not going to make a big deal about this. I want to go to this party. So I went to the party. And then the next day, I remember being like in lots and lots and lots of pain. And my mum was like, if you're well enough to go to the party, it can't be that bad. Yeah. And so so nothing happened. And I remember my mum cooked pork chops. And I don't know about other people, I think that's the hardest meat on earth to chop. So I was trying to chop it. My whole family were mocking me. I couldn't do it with one hand. And then the next day, I think my mum realised it was pretty bad. Went to the doctors, and then the doctor said, oh yeah, he's definitely snapped his collarbone, but we're worried it's resting on his lung and it could puncture his lung.
Oh my goodness.
Mum nearly fainted. And I was like, I'm the one in trouble here.
Yeah.
So went to hospital. It wasn't that bad. But it was, that's the first proper time I had to go to hospital, and they obviously x-ray you, and it's pretty cool. And, you know, you get a lot of attention when you go back to school. But
Sarah, can you top that with another first?
Well, speaking of football, my first football match.
Yes.
I've been to two in my life. And they both do stick in my mind. But honestly, like, you know, you guys, I'm sure, you know, you've been to plenty. But my first one, I think, was in about 2014 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like football. I'm not interested in it. I'm sorry. I'm just not. But my friend was like, oh, we've got a few tickets to go see Fulham. It was Fulham Stoke. At home in Fulham.
Lovely.
And so I was like, oh, why not? You know. Well, quite. and I was just a bit like, oh, whatever. So, you know, we went for a few pints beforehand. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be fun. When I got there, I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
I was getting, like, I decided I'll support Fulham because they're the team from London, I guess.
Well, Stoke's not in London, famously.
Loved it. Exactly. Well, quite.
Did really Welsh Sarah come out? You know, when you get a bit angry and Larry and your accent gets stronger.
Larry Sarah was out. And when the like Stoke fans were like being all like, hey, when we like missed the goal, I was like, oh, don't be like that. Come on.
Don't be unkind.
For goodness sake.
When we missed the goal.
I did not know you could not take your drinks into the stand. That was a new one on me.
Yeah, because it's to calm people like you down.
Well, exactly. Probably a good thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was amazing. It was so much fun. So that really, that's very memorable for me.
Yeah.
Was it the experience was fun? The whole thing? Or were you like, I actually enjoyed the game itself. But was it the whole experience? The crowd and...
It was all of it, but actually, so I thought I was, you know, I said I'd go for the experience, not for the football, but I did actually enjoy, you know, because like it's not too complicated. Mm-hmm. I understood basically what was going on. And yeah, it was great.
It's the modern day gladiatorial arena.
Quite.
The global game.
The global game.
The reason everyone loves it.
Do you know what was quite a big first for me was the first time I went to New York City.
Ooh, how old?
Ooh.
Oh, not that long ago. About maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I was so in my 30s.
That's pretty good. You've travelled a lot by then.
I have. But it was, yeah, it was about my 8th time or something to the States. And never been to New York. And that, when you get in, I got a taxi into the city. And when you go over the bridge and you see Manhattan there and all the high-rise buildings, it's like, oh, it does exist. It's not a film set. It's utterly incredible. I struggle to put it into words. It was like, my goodness. It was like a child going to like Disneyland or something.
Yeah.
You see Mickey Mouse and all that. I haven't actually been to Disneyland, but I can imagine that sort of thing. And you're like, oh, this is the stuff I see on television. Yeah. I'm walking around the streets, and a friend of mine who lived there says, oh yeah, you get tourists like taking photos of like the steam rising through the... you know, the vents and all that kind of stuff. He said, yeah, they think it's quaint. It's actually just to do with bad sewage and all this, you know, the sewage problem in the city. But you start taking, but you're looking up at the buildings. They're Central Bloody Park.
Yeah.
You know, you expect to see everybody hanging out. It's ridiculous because, as you say, Chris, I've done okay with regards to travelling. I've been to a few places.
We see it in so many TV shows or movies, don't you?
Exactly.
So you kind of grow up with this magical
place. You feel like
you've
been there. but of course you haven't been there. But it is so, so familiar to you because it is the background for so many films that you've seen. Yeah.
Home Alone
and
2.
It is still quite impressive. Like, you know some things when you actually see them in the flesh, it's sort of like, oh, I kind of thought it would be more impressive.
Totally.
New York is one of those places that you are actually like, wow.
I totally agree. It didn't disappoint. It really didn't. Mm. And I've been a couple of times to the city. I absolutely love it. It's brilliant. It brings a real sense of joy when you're there. And I know if there are any New Yorkers listening to this going, yeah, but you should try bloody living there and the price of this, that and the other. Yeah, no, I get it. We live in London and we know what it's like to live in a city which is actually a bit of a rat race and so on and so forth.
I went there a couple of times. I feel like it's like, it has a similar vibe to London in some aspects. Like, I felt like I weirdly know this place.
Yeah.
I think because it's such a city of commerce and it's, you know, on... I don't know. It felt like a similar characteristics of the city, although I think I did prefer New York, like you were saying. But I get that. Like, tourism-wise, it's a bit like, why are you taking a photo of a phone box to us? But when people come, that's iconic for them, isn't it? Like,
yeah, but I get it. I totally get all that kind of stuff, you know, like pictures in front of various tube stops or, you know, that kind of thing. You take a picture on the subway in New York, you know, I think it's reciprocated, you know.
I've got one, Marcus.
Go on, fire away.
Do you remember your first horror film?
Ooh.
And mine was Interview with the Vampire, and we, like, with Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt. And we wouldn't have been old. We would have been like 9 or 10, but it's an 18. And I remember not only thinking like, we're not allowed to watch this, but like, this is truly terrifying. I don't know if I'll ever sleep again. I mean, it wasn't that bad as far as they go. But it's like, when you're a kid and the first time you watch a horror film, it's pretty like shocking to life. You'll never be the same again.
I remember mine when it was, is it Signs? The alien.
Hang on, that's Mel Gibson. Stop.
Yeah,
it was like
so there's this moment when there's this like footage of the alien and the alien like walks out.
That is quite
and we
weird.
All like shrieked. I mean, to be fair, this was literally like at a sleepover when I was like, you know, a kid.
Yeah,
it was terrifying. Also, I just hate horror films.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that in a I don't think I'd call that a horror film.
It was horrible.
It is a bit jumpy.
Yeah.
I think I saw like Nightmare on Elm Street around a friend's house, and I was like, "Well, I could have really done without that. Thanks very much."
Yeah, they were the ones that were just petrifying when you were a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what they were designed for.
The Scream film, that was quite scary with the phone call and all at the start.
Yeah.
Cool. I didn't enjoy that. Didn't enjoy that at all. Yeah. No. So yeah, what about the first time you injected? No, I'm joking. What about, do you know what? I'll finish with a nice one. The first time I ever galloped on a horse, my goodness. My goodness, what a thrill. What a great time.
I can't imagine you galloping on a horse, Marcus.
Sarah, this is not a euphemism. Yeah.
With one of those like helmets and a velvet jacket.
All leads, if only.
Did the fox get away?
That's very naughty of you. It was, of course it didn't. No, it wasn't fox hunting, just in case we've got any activists listening. I always thought horse riding was a bit of a crappy, sappy thing to do. It's like, that's not very interesting, because you just see people just walking around on it, and you think that's a bit boring. They wear a bit sort of stupid outfits and whatnot. And then when I had a go, I was at a summer camp. And I was like, oh, this is all right. And then you start sort of trying. And then when you gallop on a horse, I still love it now. Not that I horse ride all the time. It's very, very few and far between. It's not something I do. But if you're like, it tends to be a thing if you're like, you're traveling or something. Like,
did you never dream of being a cowboy when you were little then?
Yeah, of course, yeah. Well, when I was in Argentina the other year, Chris, you've twisted my arm. There was, because in the Southern Hemisphere, there's no, maybe apart from Australia and New Zealand and one or two other countries, there's no such thing as health and safety. God bless them. and so you don't really have to, you know, like here, you'd probably have to kind of get everything signed off by a local vicar and all, and all this sort of stuff. But they did give you the sort of the crash helmets, and they couldn't find one. So I've got quite a big head. And I was like, this one's too small, this one's too. And I looked, and there was like a cowboy hat crash helmet thing on the wall, and I was like, what about that one? I put it on and it fitted, and I was like, yes, Here we go. And I was away.
I think you sent me a picture of that. I've definitely got a picture of you looking like a cowboy somewhere.
Oh my goodness, we need to find this picture.
Yeah, tweet it.
Yeah, that's going on the internet if we can find it.
I think it should. I think it's about time it went on the internet, let me tell you. I'm surprised we didn't have a first time getting drunk story from you, Sarah, or perhaps for the
no,
best.
No, I did rack my brain, I'll be honest.
But it's happened so many times.
If you know what? It probably, I don't want to be a cliche, but it probably happened watching the Six Nations.
Oh, the rugby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost definitely. If I did try and think about it, it would probably be at a friend's house watching the Six Nations.
Okay. I'd rather think it was when you were six and you were heartbroken and you're like drinking away your pain.
Mother, bring me the vodka.
Yeah.
Can't believe
I need a drink.
He never showed up to my sixth birthday.
Timmy's dead to me.
And let me tell you, that was a booze up.
That was a big old booze up. Blimey, O'Reilly. Well, there we are, everybody.
Jelly.
Thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on board. It's been a pleasure returning, of course, from a little break. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@aqqapod, and the Twitter handle is the same, @aqqapod. So there we are. We're back next week with another question. But until then, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thanks, Marcus. Good to be back.
Thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you. It is lovely to see your faces.
Lovely old job. See you next week, everybody.